Five kinds of korbanot were brought by the Kohanim. The Ola, the Mincha, the Chata, the Asham. And don't forget the Shlamim, Nadav and Avihu showed up. Eish Sarah held in their hands. Not quite sure how they messed up, but God had other plans. Aaron saw it all go down and wondered, how can this be fair? He had nothing left to say, he just went still and stared. Over, let's turn it over and over, let's turn it over and now we get a lesson on some basic laws about kashrut. Any vegetables are totally fine, and so is any fruit. Birds are pretty much okay, unless you eat a bird of prey. If it don't have fins and scales, send those fishies on their way. Wanna eat an animal? Listen, bud, look for split hooves and chew and cud.
This week's Parsha is Vayikra, and is the first Parsha in the third book of the Torah, Sefer Vayikra. Now, I encourage you to go back and listen to last year's telling of Parshat Vayikra, which you can find linked in the description below. And I said something similar to what I want to say now, which is still true, which is that Sefer Vayikra has a very different tone, has a very different theme, has a very different style than the first two books of the Torah, than the fourth book of the Torah, Bamidbar, for sure. And that is why I so appreciate Jonah Hassenfeld's ability to take this song over and over, which this is his third volume of this same song, but taking this song and changing the style, changing the theme, just like Sefer Vayikra has a different tone to it. Now, the style or the tone of Sefer Vayikra is much less about narrative. There are some sections of narrative, and we'll get there in a couple of weeks especially, but in academic or analytical circles, Sefer Vayikra has a different name. It's actually called the Holiness Code because it is not a story, but it is a code, a collection of laws that are all meant to bring people closer to God and in some ways closer to each other. Now, I'm a strong believer that the lessons of Sefer Vayikra are just as, if not more compelling and deeply meaningful than all of the rest of the Torah. In fact, it's not for nothing that Sefer Vayikra is the third of the five books, putting it right in the middle. And in many ways is not meant to capture an ancient story, but it is instead really speaking to generations of the Jewish people that will last forever, up until and including today and beyond. The problem is, this podcast centers around storytelling as a device in order to teach these lessons. And so, throughout Sefer Vayikra, you're going to hear made-up stories by me that are based on Midrash and based on the actual text of the Torah itself. And without any further ado for this week's Parsha, let's talk about Sefer Vayikra. In Sefer Vayikra, God reminds Moshe of all of the laws of the Korbanot that God had shared with Moshe on Har Sinai, and tells Moshe that he has to teach these laws of Korbanot, of sacrifices, to Aaron and his sons, to the Kohanim. And I imagine that conversation between Moshe and Aaron going a little something like this. So, Aaron, we've finished building the Mishkan. It took a year of a lot of hard work. I checked everything, and now the presence of God finally dwells here. And Aaron says, I know, it's amazing. And Moshe says, and now we have the opportunity for people to get closer to God by bringing korbanot, which comes from the root karov, kuf resh vet, which means to draw closer. And Aaron says, okay, wow, that's a very high-stakes job for a person. And Moshe says, no, Aaron, that's the whole point, is that you and your sons are going to help people. They're going to guide them as they have these intimate, special moments with God. And Aaron says, okay, great. So tell me about the korbanot that they're going to bring. And Moshe says, all right, let's start with a positive note. Because some of the korbanot are things that people are going to do when they make mistakes. But let's actually start with a positive, okay? Let's start with the olah sacrifice, because that's a very specific kind of sacrifice. And Aaron says, okay, so why would someone bring an olah? And Moshe says, an olah is a sacrifice that somebody is going to bring, a korban that someone's going to bring, if they just need to connect to God. They didn't do anything wrong. There's not something particular that's going on in their lives, but they have a desire. They have an urge to connect to the divine. You see, back then, there were no prayers. There were no tefillot exactly the way that we know them now. Instead, people would connect to God by giving of stuff that they owned, materials that they owned, and in this case, often livestock, animals. And so Moshe says, yeah, so an olah is a great thing for someone to bring. And Aaron says, all right, now I remember learning in last year's telling of the podcast that all of the food would actually come to us as the Kohanim because we're not going to have our own land when we enter the land of Israel. And Moshe says, well, yeah, that's true about all of the other sacrifices, but actually the olah is different. The olah, all, as it says in its name, goes up to God. And Aaron says, Moshe, I have to say that seems like a little bit of a waste. I mean, perfectly good meat would be burnt and wasted. And Moshe says, yeah, but the whole point of that sacrifice is the connection between the person and God. There shouldn't be anybody else in between taking any other part of it. So you're going to help them do it, but it's really about them and God. It's a very intimate sacrifice. And Aaron says, okay, so can you tell me what kind of animals they can use? And Moshe says, sure. So, you know, cow is a very good one, very expensive, but a very good one if someone can afford it. Sheep or goats, if somebody wants to, if they can afford it. If they can't afford that, maybe they'd be able to afford like a pigeon or a turtle dove. These are good kind of medium offerings. And then also, if somebody wants to make it an olah sacrifice, but they can't afford any animals, maybe they can afford a grain. And so they can make this offering. It's called a mincha offering, which is like an olah, but it's just grain instead of a meat. And Aaron says, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But, you know, I was wondering, what about fish? I mean, can somebody bring a fish? If they can bring animals, maybe a fish is easier for them. And Moshe goes, okay, I know this is going to sound kind of crazy, Aaron, but fish have a very weird look to them. You know, animals and even birds have qualities about them that humans can relate to. And ultimately, what's happening is that in a sacrifice, in a korban, a person is using an animal as a holy bridge, as a holy emissary, like an agent, like a messenger. The animal has the opportunity to kind of be the person. And so we stay alive down here on earth, but the animal's spirit goes up and rises up to God. And fish just kind of look too weird to use for a sacrifice like that. There are kosher fish, and we'll talk about that later, but it's important to remember that the whole process of animal sacrifice, of bringing korbanot, is not that we don't care about animals. Exactly the opposite. Animals serve a holy function and a holy purpose in the Mishkan. Now, my friends, I know that in 2024, we definitely think about animal sacrifice way differently than they did back then. But certainly at the time, animal cruelty was something that was known and something that the Torah wanted everyone to avoid. But the Torah believed, truly believed, and would have us understand that the role of the animal, at least in animal sacrifice, was a blessing or a gift for the animals, not a punishment. And Aaron says, wow, that's a lot of information, Moshe. And Moshe goes, Aaron, I literally just told you only about one kind of sacrifice that some people will sometimes make. I haven't even told you how to make the sacrifice yet. There is so much more that you need to learn. And Aaron says, Okay, I have a lot of time to learn it. And Moshe goes, well, let's give you a little bit of time, but soon we're going to have to start getting it done. And Aaron says, well, how much more time am I going to have? And Moshe says, listen, how about this? We'll spend next week talking about korbanot, and then the week after that, we're going to really get to it, okay? So I promise you, Aaron, that we're going to do more in next week's podcast, Parsha. Shabbat Zachor Shalom Lekulam. This is the Shabbat right before Purim. And so wishing all of you and your families a wonderful Shabbat right before Purim, a happy Purim, and looking forward to celebrating at school next week.